animals be here. Try to them along that line. Try to be on time or early. Try to be here. You don't know what you'll miss, what announcements you may miss. Being early gives your mind and spirit a chance to calm down, to shut off what's going on around us, shut off the world for a short period of time. Try to be on time or be early. Number three, invite others. Invite those that are saved. Invite those that are lost. Those that you think might have a chance. If you can't, invite those you think will be here. Invite those you think that can watch online. Sometimes we've had some really good numbers of those who are watching on Facebook that cannot be here in person, but invite others. Number four, cut down extracurricular things. Things that aren't necessary during the week of meetings. Try to cut those things out so that you can focus more on the meetings. I was telling Rachel when I was homeschooled, most often we had shorter school days and other things outside of school were just cut out for the week. We just didn't do them. But as best you can, cut down or cut out extracurricular things to focus on the meetings. Number five, be sure you are rested. Be sure you are ready. Do your best to make sure that your mind is clear and your spirit is clear and you're ready for the services to hear from God. These seven things apply for, you know, services in general. I know in older years there were small towns that shut down early Saturday evening so they could prepare for the Lord's Day. That's still a thing. It's a general rule. I try not to do too many things on Saturday evening, but especially this week, make sure we are rested and ready. Number six, pray at home for the meetings. Pray here for the meetings. Pray everywhere you can possibly be. Pray for the meetings. Number seven, get your purse strings involved. You've heard Pastor Reno say many, many times, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Get your treasure involved in the meetings, and your heart will follow it as well. As far as Scripture goes, we're going to look at several passages. Look at Romans chapter 10. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 4. I'm not going to make a lot of comments, but the primary emphasis for tonight is going to be praying for lost souls. However, I do think it is necessary. I think it is prudent that there be Scripture reading involved in the service. I know of some churches, I know of some services where the song service can get carried away, ends up taking over the entire service, and nothing else gets done, no praying, no preaching. I highly disagree with that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? The Bible says that God's used the foolishness of preaching. Right? I'm not going to preach a message per se, but I think that we should have Scripture in the service tonight. So, Romans chapter 10, read verses 1 through 4 with me if you can. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Paul's prayer was that those of Israel might be saved. They had a record with him that they had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They were trying to establish their own righteousness. Most of today's society and culture is trying to establish their own righteousness in their own way. We need to pray that they would be saved. Turn back to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Look at verse number 18 with me, if you would. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. You can read along with me if you would. The Bible says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We're praying for lost eyes to be opened. Lost eyes to be opened. Look back at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at the first six verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. This should be a familiar passage to you, or at least parts of it. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The Bible says here in verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. It's God's will for them to be saved. They've been commanded to be saved. They've been commanded to repent and be saved. It's God's will for them to be saved. We're to pray for that. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. You can read it out loud with me if you would, please. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're praying for lost souls to come to repentance. Not that they would feel sorry over their sins, though that is necessary. Not that they would have some decision to make, though clearly that is necessary. But we're looking for them to come to repentance, a saving knowledge and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, we saw that it was his will that none should perish, but all should come to repentance, that all men to be saved. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse number 14 and read that out loud with me if you would. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I'm confident before you tonight that when we ask for the Lord to work in lost souls' hearts, that we are praying in his will. Amen. Sometimes there are requests that I have that may seem selfish, that may seem... sometimes I have to ask myself, why am I asking the Lord for this? Is it just to make my life easier? Is it just to make things better for me, or am I actually praying the will of God? Sometimes I have to ask myself that because I'm tempted to pray out of a selfishness. But when it comes to praying for lost souls, it's not praying for selfishness. Now, sometimes our motives might be wrong, but we should pray for lost souls. We know that when we pray in his will, he heareth us. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's what we're praying for tonight. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 3, 4, and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and 5. Follow along with me if you can. You can read it out loud. The Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's why we have meetings like this, to invite the lost, to have the lost come here to hear. Might Brother Johnson preach some or even the whole meeting to the saved? Yes, he might. And that's entirely between him and God. But we ought to be responsible to see the lost are here. Lost people can get saved in messages that are preached to the saved. The night I got saved when Brother Ray Bearden was here, I heard a different message entirely than what was preached. I told Brother Ray about it later and thanked him for the message he preached on hypocrisy, and he was not preaching on hypocrisy that night. Guess what? Holy Spirit was preaching on hypocrisy to me. So we need to make sure that our gospel is not hidden. We don't want the light of the glorious gospel being hidden to them. We need to make sure that we take pains with that. Mark chapter 9 with me, if you would. Mark chapter 9. This one hits a little closer to home. I want to read to you, I'll read it out loud. You can follow along. It's a longer passage than normal. Of a dad who brought his son to the Savior. Do we care enough to bring those that we love to the Savior? Do we care enough to bring them to him in prayer? Or is it just one of those, well, if God does a work in them, that's nice. Be kind of nice if things worked out that direction, but you know, don't expect me to do anything about it. Don't expect me to put too much into it. Here's a dad who sacrificed a great deal to bring his son to the Savior. Look at Mark chapter 9, verses number 17 through 24. The Bible says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. We've looked at this passage recently, but it bears repeating. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came into him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. This father looked at the status of his son and saw the danger he was in, what the demons were doing to him. Do we care enough about our lost loved ones and relatives to see the danger in which they're in? Maybe not to the extent of the demon affecting them like this young boy was, but do we see the result? Do we see the end road of where their path of sin, of rebellion, is going to take them? Do we care enough to bring them to the Savior? That's why we're here tonight. We're going to take a time here to take names. Go ahead and shut that off. If you have...